In a small theatre in Toronto, an audience has gathered to hear a performance of songs which have not been heard for over 70 years. They are songs written in Yiddish during the Second World War, amid the murderous warfare between the Nazis and the Soviet Union. And they bring us the voices of Russian Jews, united in their fight against the Nazis, singing of battle, of determination, and yes, of loss. In that Toronto theatre, the audience is listening shiny-eyed to songs which tell what are, for many of them, stories of their own family's ordeals. This is a song that mocks Hitler. In fact, the final line is "Hitler is kaput." Now, this music lay forgotten until it was rediscovered by my guest Anna Sternschiss, who is Associate Professor of Yiddish and Diaspora Studies at the University of Toronto. And now she and a band of Jewish musicians have given this music to the rest of us in this concert and in an album called Yiddish Glory. Anna, welcome to the show. Where does your own passion for these songs come from?
Well, I'm a historian of Soviet Jews, and I've always been interested in music, especially on Yiddish, in Yiddish music that addresses political change, it addresses everyday life of people who produce it. So I was working on a project, and I came across this document, this lost archive of Yiddish music recorded and collected during the war. And I got really excited by a possibility of bringing these documents back to life as art, as opposed to just as part of academic writing.
So this is a box of songs that you found in an archive.
These were handwritten letters, sometimes very poorly typed documents, poorly, I mean hardly visible documents that contained the texts of songs that people wrote during the war about the war in Ukraine and other parts of the Soviet Union.
So who put these songs together? Who put the collection together?
It's an interesting story because the project was run by Moisei Berigovsky, Soviet Jewish ethnomusicologist. And he was working for a lab, a special research lab. And during the war, he collected thousands of songs from Jewish refugees, Jewish Red Army soldiers, children and women who survived the German or Romanian occupation, mostly Romanian occupation, and collected the songs into the archive, hoping that they will be published in a special book. But because Berigovsky was arrested by Joseph Stalin in 1950, his entire archive for this project were confiscated by Soviet secret police and were not released to the public until mid-1990s, when they were cataloged by the Ukrainian National Library in Kiev. And I came across these documents in the 2000s and worked on them for a long time. And the point is that everything that he collected, he and his colleagues, all this music, has not been known to scholarly or general community before this archive came to surface.
So these are songs that come out of the world of Soviet Jews. Who were they? Who are these people we're talking about? And where are they in history when they're writing these songs?
Well, there are Soviet Jews, first of all, are people who live in the Soviet Union. There were about 3 million Jews living in the Soviet Union in 1939. When in 1939, Stalin annexed parts of Poland and Baltic states as part of Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, a Soviet Jewish population grew to 5 million people. Now, during the war, about half of them, about 2.5 million, were killed. So this is of 6 million Jews who were killed during the Holocaust. 2.5 million were killed in the Soviet Union. About 500,000 Soviet Jews served in the Red Army during the war. And another 1.5 million of Soviet Jews, another 250,000 Polish Jews, survived the war in the Soviet Rear, parts of the Soviet Union that was not occupied by the German army, and parts of the Soviet Union where there was no war. So Central Asia, Siberia, parts of Ural Mountains. And Berigovsky managed, somewhat miraculously actually, to collect music from all these groups of Soviet Jews, including people who we very rarely hear from when we discuss history. So this collection is kind of like an artistic commentary on life and death of Soviet Jews during World War II.
Well, Anna, let's have one of those songs. This one's called My Machine Gun. Briefly, what do we need to know about this?
Well, it's interesting because it glorifies unapologetically a machine gun, a weapon that the Red Army gave to him so he can use it in order to kill as many Germans as possible. And the song is unapologetically claiming that he is going to do just that. Also, the song fights a very prevalent anti-Semitic myth that Jews were not fighting in the war, that Jews were somehow surviving the war in Tashkent. So the song says, actually, that's not true. Jewish men can and do fight as a man, and they do so no worse or even better than other soldiers. So this is the song about that, and it's called, predictably, My Machine Gun. Іги хлебу пулемьот, он шепча їдишу ніген, а руми різав штіл, норстуэнди грізлах зіх міден. А руми різав штіл, норстуэнди грізлах зіх міден. Хдармон зіх ман фрейлах штету, верот ес нідгі кен. Ітс дізас пустон меншу, ой зайнен ди штібер фарберет. Норс із до аройте армей, от зіміра пулемьот гігебн, до шлогіх ун шлогіх ди тайчн.
So he says, I lie beside my machine gun, softly singing a Yiddish tune. And then he says, all our houses have been burned. And then he ends with the line, hey, machine gun, aim for the target. Not a single German should be left alive. That's a really confronting song of a soldier, really in the thick of battle, Anna.
That's for sure.
The next song is the song of a wife. And it's about a woman, a seamstress, who's working in a Russian clothing factory. Tell us what she's making.
She's making a burial shroud for Hitler because she's hoping that her husband, who is fighting in the war, will kill Hitler and they will bury him according to traditional Jewish rituals. Zitzichmir in Masterskaya Bayman Liber Nemashim Gdumain Ma Wischnellen spannt auf Dornton noch Berlin. Nee, Hitler mach richtig, sing a Liedele und Stepp. Mischen you ein Westkommen, speise alle
I love this song, Anna, because it sounds so loving, even sentimental, but actually she's saying, I'm sitting in the factory beside my beloved sewing machine while you, my husband, are fighting among the heroes. I'm sewing Hitler a burial shroud, and then says, when all the Germans are dead, our peace and our joy will return undisturbed. Megan liegen tief, gur tief in der Adome. Anna Sternschiss is my guest on the Hub On Stage, and we're talking about a collection of Yiddish songs written by Soviet Jews during the Second World War. Anna, before the Russian Revolution, the Soviet leader Lenin spoke out very resolutely against anti-Semitism. He urged Soviets to think of Jewish workers as being every bit as part of the glorious proletariat as the rest of them, which is, I suppose, a sign that he was resisting an anti-Semitic spirit within Imperial Russia. Talk to me some more about what happened after the war. What was Stalin's attitude to Soviet Jews?
Well, Stalin's attitude towards Soviet Jews was different throughout Soviet history. So in the 20s even in the 1930s, as you mentioned, the Soviet state was actively fighting against anti-Semitism. In fact, if anyone said something anti-Semitic, that person could end up in jail, and actually did end up in jail often. Anti-Semitic discussions or criticism towards Jews as a group was suppressed. Anti-Semitism was reported to as one of those inheritance from the Tsarist regime, which the Soviet Union condemned. And also, Soviets invested quite a bit of money and energy into creating this new Soviet Yiddish culture, communist in its content. In other words, the support for Yiddish theater, for music, for writers was unprecedented in the world. There were something like 40 state-sponsored Yiddish theaters in the Soviet Union in the mid-30s. During the war, Jews were extremely committed to fighting for the Soviet cause, and I already mentioned almost 500,000 Red Army soldiers. Of them, 140,000 were killed, and the number of people among them who got highest awards of the Soviet military system is proportionally second highest in the Soviet Union, followed only after ethnic Russians. So Jews were really, truly committed to the Soviet cause. After the war, however, all that changed because the mood in the country was different. The Soviet Union lost 27 million people to the war, and there was a general sense of disappointment with the regime. And historians believe that anti-Semitism would have been a popular measure. That would have been something that all people in the Soviet Union would have supported. And because of that, Stalin turned against Jews, and that led to a very different development.
Well, Anna, congratulations on this project. It's taken us into a world I didn't know about, and it's done that very vividly and very powerfully. Thank you so much for being my guest.
And thank you so much for having me.
Anna Strenschis is Associate Professor of Yiddish and Diaspora Studies at the University of Toronto, and she's been telling us about the Second World War Russian Yiddish songs, which have been recreated on a lovely album called Yiddish Glory. And on YouTube, there's a terrific video of a concert performance of these songs in Toronto recently. I'll put a link to that on our website. On RN and on podcast, you're with The Hub, on stage with Michael Kaskab. Deutschland ist auf Zores, Hitler ist kaputt.